Hey guys, it's 7 p.m. on Wednesday night. Ready to hang out with you guys again. Ready to talk to you again tonight about a word that I feel like God had spoken to me this week. Just kind of reading some chapters through my Bible, like kind of the last couple weeks. Excited to talk to you tonight about where's the peace? You know, we look around us, we see turmoil everywhere we go. We hear Christians talk about peace all the time, but I think we're kind of in a season where I know that lately I've kind of looked around and said, man, where's the peace? What's going on here? So tonight, I hope I can kind of enlighten that a little bit through some words that God has spoken to me earlier this week, and hopefully clear things up, I guess, a little bit for us about what peace is and how we can attain it and how we go about finding it. So we'll start tonight with just a word of prayer, and then we'll jump right in. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. I thank you for the care that you take of us when we don't even think about it. The safety that you provide us and just the love that you bestow on us that we don't deserve, but you give it to us anyway because you just have that enormous love for us. I thank you for the opportunity tonight to speak your word. I pray that you would help to remove me out of the equation, God, and just allow your word to be spoken and not amended in any way by a thought that I may have or a word that comes out of my mouth that's just from me. I pray that it would be straight from you. I pray that you would be with your people tonight, God. Minister to those who are hurting. Minister to those who are struggling. And God, I pray that you would be comfort to those who need it. Families that are dealing with loss and families that are dealing with sickness and all kinds of things, God, that go on in this world every single day. I pray that you would be the need meter, whatever that definition is for our families and our church family. We thank you again for this opportunity. In your name I pray. Amen. So, this week, as I told you, I was reading, and in my Bible plan, I'm in Jeremiah. I actually just finished it. I started Lamentations. It's going to be a blast finishing that one up. But this past week, I was in Jeremiah, and chapter 42 is a time when Israel was oppressed by Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar had kind of taken over and fully just controlled the nation of Israel. And there's a remnant of the Israelites that came to Jeremiah and they ask him to talk to the Lord on their behalf and see, like, hey, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to deal with this, not deal with this? We've got to have some reprieve here. Tell us what to do. So tonight, we're going to start by reading the scripture. And it's a little bit lengthy. It's going to be 1 through 16 in chapter 42. You got your Bible with you, and we'll just kind of read through this story as they petitioned Jeremiah. So it said in verse 1, then all the commanders of the armies, along with Johanan, son of Kareah, Jezaniah, son of Hoshaiah, and all the people from the least to the greatest, approached Jeremiah the prophet and said, may our petition come before you. Pray through the Lord your God on our behalf, on behalf of this entire remnant. For few of us remain out of the many, as you can see with your own eyes, that the Lord your God may tell us the way we should walk and the thing we should do. And verse 4 says, Jeremiah the prophet said to them, I have heard, I will now pray to the Lord your God according to your words, and every word that the Lord answers you, I will tell you. I won't withhold a word from you. And they said to Jeremiah, as for every word the Lord God sends you to tell us, if we don't act accordingly, may the Lord be a true and faithful witness against us. Whether it is pleasant or unpleasant, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we are sending you, so that it may go well with us. We will certainly obey the voice of the Lord our God. So at the end, it says in verse 7, now at the end of 10 days, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, and he summoned Johanan, son of Kareah, and the commanders of the armies who were with him, and all the people from the least to the greatest. And he said to them, this is what the Lord God of Israel, to whom you sent me to bring your petition before him. If you will indeed stay in this land, then I will rebuild and not demolish you. I will plant and not uproot you, because I relent concerning the disaster that I have brought on you. Don't be afraid of the king of Babylon, whom you now fear. Don't be afraid of him. This is the Lord's declaration. Because I am with you to save you and deliver you. I will grant you compassion, and he will have compassion on you and allow you to return to your own soil. But if you say, we will not stay in this land so as not to obey the voice of the Lord your God, and if you say, no, instead, we will go to the land of Egypt, where we will not see war or hear the sound of the ram's horn or hunger for food, and will live there. Then hear the word of the Lord, remnant of Judah. This is what the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, says. If you are firmly resolved to go to Egypt and live there for a while, then the sword you fear will overtake you there in the land of Egypt, and the famine you are worried about will follow you on your heels there to Egypt, and you will die there. So, to recap the story a little bit, they come before him, they're oppressed, they're scared, their whole population's been minimized, they're coming before him as a remnant and just a few people to say, hey, we want you to talk to God for us. And kind of the same way we as Christians and church people do a lot of times, we go to God and we're like, okay, God, I have this really big problem and I want you to tell me how to fix it. Whatever you say, I'm going to do it. It doesn't matter what you say, I'm going to obey it. And so that's what they tell Jeremiah. You go talk to him. He was the advocate at that time for him to speak to the God, to God, and tell him that we're ready to do what he says. We're ready to find peace. We're ready to find direction in this, but we just don't know where to go. So he goes, he talks to him, you know, he goes over that and he tells him, hey, stay where you are. Stay right here where you are, and I will be the compassion. I will relent on the disaster that has come against you because of your disobedience. If you listen to me in this instance, I will be the peace in that situation. I will be what you're looking for. But if you don't listen and you go to what makes sense to you and you travel to Egypt, because at that time, Egypt was kind of an escape. And it's funny that they looked to Egypt. They'd been delivered from Egypt back in Moses' time, and they looked to go back there again in this time because there wasn't any war going on there. There wasn't a famine there. There was just, it looked like prosperity at that time. He says, if you choose to go there, then you're not going to find peace. The issues that you're dealing with are going to follow you to that place as well. And that kind of got me thinking about some times when we as Christians petition God about those things. We look to God, and maybe that's right now. Maybe you're looking and you're like, okay, I hear about peace all the time from Christians. I hear about peace all the time from the church people I hang out with, from the brothers and sisters I have at church, but I look in the world and all I see is turmoil. All I see is tempest. All I see is just massive amounts of violence and destruction and pestilence and war and all these things. And how do the Christians keep talking about peace all the time? It's like this cliche thing, like, oh, Jesus is the Prince of Peace and God is all about peace. God is all this and this peace. But how do we find that? What's that look like and how do we get there? And I think that there are three things tonight and I want to talk to you about that is critical in finding peace and things that I've experienced personally and things that I feel like God tells us through the Word, how to achieve peace in a difficult time or in times of turmoil. And the number one thing to me is that I have to remember that peace is not a place. The Israelites thought that if they could just get to Egypt, if they could change their physical location, they would find peace. But their issue wasn't their physical location. It was their relationship with God had been severed, and they had been years and just generation after generation of disobedience, and that had allowed them to drift further and further and further from God. And their peace was a direct, or their unrest was a direct correlation to their relationship with God. And I think sometimes in our life, we look and we say, man, if I could just get into that new house, or if I could just get into a new job, or if I could just get into a new pair of shoes, or a new handbag, or a new rifle, or a new truck, or whatever that is, if I could just change my location a little bit, I would find some rest. I would feel like I've made it, and I've done that. And the Bible tells us, too, that number one, through them, that peace wasn't a place. And after this, after chapter 42, In the end of 42 and then on into 43, we see that the Israelites totally disobeyed what Jeremiah said and went into Egypt and found even more unrest and found even more destruction and turmoil than they had seen before, because they chose to pursue that place. They chose to go into a different physical location that looked peaceful. And I'm reminded of Jonah too, when God called him to do something and said, like, hey, I need you to go to Nineveh and preach to these people. It's kind of unrest there. Jonah said, no, I'm going to go the other way. Well, God, it wasn't about a location. It wasn't about the fact that he went the other direction. It was more about the fact that he was disobeying God that caused his unrest. It wasn't just, I mean, had Jonah just decided to go to Tarshish to go to Tarshish, it wouldn't have been a big deal. But because he ran from God's call from him and he disobeyed what God wanted him to do, there was unrest and there was turmoil and there was, you know, just that difficult situation. And we know the story about Jonah. He persisted in trying to run away from God, ended up in the belly of a great big fish, hung out there for a few days, ended up out on the beach, decides, okay, maybe I should go to Nineveh. He realized that it wasn't where he was, it was who he was associated with. So number one thing, when we look in our society and we look in our daily lives and we say, gosh, I just wish I could find some peace, or man, I'm just so unsettled. I don't know what it is. Maybe if I can move to here, go to there, or get this, or do that, or whatever. We have to remember that peace is not a place. Peace isn't just if we make it to home base, like playing tag when we were kids or hide and seek when we were kids. If you make it to home base, you're free. You can't get touched anymore. It's not about that. It's about that relationship with God. It's about that union with Him as our Father and us as His sons and daughters. And reestablishing that union is the first thing that helps us to find peace. And the next thing that I'm reminded about is peace is not a place, but peace also comes through the Word of God. And when the remnant here of Israel petitioned Jeremiah, they said, hey, go talk to God. Go tell Him what's going on with us. Tell Him what we need and see what He says to you. God sent His Word back through Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, by this point, is chapter 42. He's known as one who speaks the Word of the Lord. He's known as one who's not going to sugarcoat it. He's not going to make it palatable. He's spoken some rough stuff to these guys at this point. He's not going to be one that just makes it easy for them to hear. So God sends the word through Jeremiah. He tells them exactly what they need to do to escape all the stuff that they're dealing with, to get out of this, to find that peace. How do we find the rest? How do we get out from under this oppression? How do we not be struggling with the exact same thing we've been struggling with forever? It was through the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord said, stay here. Be right here. And then in that, He was trying to show them that we talked about. It's not going somewhere else. It's not getting something else. It's not running from war. Peace is not just the absence of war. It's about a relationship with God. And it's also through the Word of God. And I think there's so many times in our life we look at stressful situations and we look at times like right now through the virus that we've experienced this year and the pandemic that it caused and then the civil unrest that we're seeing in our nation and across the world right now. And we see that. We look at it through our physical eyes and get worried. I feel like, you know, if I sit and watch the news for very long at all, or I read articles about what's going on very long at all, I just get bug-eyed. And I just look at it and I'm like, my goodness, this is just, it's just ravaged. I feel like the whole earth is just ravaged, from natural disaster to sickness and pestilence to the civil unrest that we're dealing with. How in the world are we supposed to find peace? So many times I forget to apply the Word of God to this situation. I forget to remember the promises that God has given us. And remember that, yeah, God is the Prince of Peace. Yeah, God is the one who gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. God is the one who, through Jesus in Mark chapter 6, when they're dealing with the storm on the sea, and it's the disciples in the boat, and Jesus is in the back sleeping, it was by his word that they found peace. It was when he stood up in the bow of the boat and he said, "Hey, peace, be still." And then the winds and the waves, they just stopped. And it was through the word of God that allowed them to find that peace. And so many times I feel like we just forget to apply that to our situations. We just look at it and we let our spiritual eyes be covered by the calamity that we see with our physical eyes. And I feel like when we change the lens of how we see things, we can see that, man, God is in control. No matter what, he's in control. And no matter what's going on, he's promised that he's going to take care of us. He's promised that because of our paternity in him, and if we know him as a father, and we've accepted him and his son as our savior, then we have that union and we have that relationship that allows us to be the recipient of all of those promises and all of those gifts that he talks about throughout scripture. And we can look at the scriptures that, you know, that are the go-to ones for times of trouble. You know, the battle is the Lord's. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. You know, I said one a minute ago, God gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. All of those things that we paraphrase to help us remember that. But until we reestablish that union and until we reestablish that relationship with God, all of those things are just words. And all of those things are just letters that are stacked together in a sentence that don't mean anything. If we say those things over and over and over again and they're just words to us, it's just like reciting the Pledge of Allegiance and expecting red to change to blue. It doesn't work. That just because we put those words together doesn't mean we can change the situation. It's about believing in the Word of God, and it's about allowing that Word of God to work its way through, not just through our minds, but into our hearts and into that part of us that allows us to believe and infiltrate down to the depths of who we are to say, "Oh, yeah, I've seen this work before. I remember this. I've read story after story after story about how God kept his people safe and God delivered his people when they were running around like a bunch of hoodlums. He always went back and he always was able to deliver them from their disobedience. But it took them turning and seeing and hearing the word of God, but then acting on it." And I think that a lot of times we just forget that. We forget to apply the word of God to our visualization of the crazy that's going on around us. So number one, how do we find peace? Where is the peace at? Well, number one, peace isn't a place. And number two, we got to remember that peace comes through the Word of God, and not just reading it and looking at it, but the full immersion and adoption of that as a belief in our spirit again. And the last thing I've found is that peace is a byproduct of trust. And what I mean by that is when we have full trust that God is going to take care of us, and we have full trust that he is sovereign and his will is sovereign and his plans are sovereign and they're higher than ours, and, you know, like we talked about in Jeremiah 29:11, that he does have plans to give us a future and a hope. Even though it may take the 70 years of captivity, he does have a plan for us, and he does have, he wants to give us those things. But if we find ourselves where we're not in that position of trusting him fully, we can't experience that trust, or we can't experience that peace, I'm sorry. And I think that a lot of times, you know, we get to the first point, we're like, "Yeah, okay, I get it. I don't have to move. I can find peace where I'm at, no matter what that situation is. I understand that cerebrally and intellectually." And then we get, and you're like, "Okay, Logan, I read my word. I read the Bible. I know the scripture. I can pray the scripture. I do that. I believe that it's true." But this last part, I feel like, is one of the biggest hurdles to get to, is to fully trust that God's got it. He is truly in control. And for me, that's hard. because I can see it, I can hear it, I can understand it. Man, I get the concept of it. I've got it in my head perfectly. But allowing that knowledge to work its way down into my heart, and for me to fully believe that no matter what I'm in, what situation I'm in, what turmoil and crazy and calamity is going on around me, I'm going to be okay. And I have to understand that. And I think the fear that comes with the physical, like being physically in those situations, and that actual physical response that causes the fear in us is really hard to overcome at that point. You know, I think about guys in the Bible who were those just mega men and women too, that were able to look that danger straight in the face and understand that God was going to take care of them. You think about David and Goliath. Little dude walks up to a 9-foot something another giant, throws a rock at him, and the whole time he never faltered because he knew God was going to take care of him. He believed so fully and soundly that God was going to deliver him from that it didn't matter. And it allowed him to be victorious, and it allowed him to be a catalyst for peace in that nation, and allowed them to defeat the Philistines in that battle. And I'm thinking about Daniel, even when he got thrown into the den of lions, man, he's sitting there looking at these things, and I mean, I've seen a lion once or twice at the zoo, and it was a pretty good ways off. Like, I've never been, like, fortunate enough to see him right up on one. But even from a long way off, you can tell they're really big. You know, they're not like house cats. You know, they're not like dealing with a feral street cat running around. They're these monster animals. And, man, they throw him in this pit. There's a bunch of lions in there. And he's like, okay. He just starts praying. He just starts praying like crazy, talking to God, thanking him, telling him how good he is, how fortunate he is, how blessed he is, and talking to God to keep him safe and all these things. And the lions never touch him. But he was so sold out that he believed so fully and firmly that God was going to take care of him. God just threw that peace on him. And he I feel like he just sat there and just chilled. Sure, for a while, I'm sure he was nervous. He's seeing him twitch and, you know, move around, walk around him and get close to him. But after that, I mean, by morning, I feel like he was probably in there just petting him, like brushing their manes out for him and stuff. God allowed him to find peace in that. And I think in our lives, when we look around and we see, man, the world's a mess. Society's a mess. Everything going on has caused so much disruption. How am I ever going to feel like it's okay again? Feel like we have to go back to these three things, and to find peace, we have to remember it's not about trying to run away from the USA or where you're at. You can't run to Canada and just find peace in Canada. If you don't have that relationship with God, it's going to be miserable there too. Doesn't matter where you go. You can go to Bora Bora and still not find true peace. And also remember that it comes through the Word of God. And it comes through not just saying it and not just seeing it and not reading the Word of God like it's a textbook, but reading it like it's a love letter from your spouse or from your mom or dad to you, to say, hey, I've got you. I love you. And I care about you. And I want to be your peace. I want to be that giver and that one that bestows that on you. And knowing that and believing that wholeheartedly. And then the last part, man, just to cap it off and to find that pinnacle there, is to find the 100% trust. Find that 100% sold out. I believe God is completely sovereign, and whatever His will is going to be what takes care of me. And whatever He says, and however the things play out around me, it's going to be okay. If I make it, I make it. If I don't, and I know Him, I'm going to heaven. It's win-win at that point. If we make it through it, then that's awesome. We have a story of victory that we can talk to others about how good God is. But if we don't, man, we go to eternal life in heaven. There's no lose in that situation. But our flesh tells us to be worried, and our flesh tells us to be scared, and our flesh screams anxiety-filled thoughts. But when we can get to the point where we feel like God, and we know that God is sovereign, and we know that He is bigger than that, and then we can adopt those words as truths in our life, I feel like we can find that peace. And tonight, I feel like if you're just in a situation where you just feel like you can't find it, you just feel like, man, Logan, I feel like I'm doing all that stuff. And I'd love to pray for you. And I'll, when we close tonight, I'll pray for that specifically and through the ambiguity of not being able to be directly with each other. But God's big enough to meet that gap and to bridge that gap for us. And if you just constantly find yourself being deterred and having these tangential thoughts that just run away from you and just take a weird track, and then you're just in some black hole somewhere trying to get out of the anxiety, maybe these simple things will help you get back on track and to say, oh yeah, I remember that thing about peace that I heard from church the other night. I hope it gives you something to go back to and an easy way to find what peace is and how to attain it. And tonight, I just ask you guys to pray with me as we get ready to close. And just ask God to help us to understand that. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you again just for the opportunity to be able to deliver your word. And hopefully a word that's challenging to let us know that that this gift of peace is a two-sided affair. That it's not just you just handing it out to us and we just take it and have it. We have to understand how to get to you and understand how to unlock that peace and how to use it and how to just understand it in a way that allows us to experience it in the way that you expect us to and the way that you want us to. I pray that you would help us make it real. And I pray that we wouldn't just kind of keep it to ourselves. That once we figure out how you give peace and how you extend that gift to us and how we can attain that, then we try to give it to others and we try to speak about it to those around us who are affected by the issues that we have in the world today. And just it just seems like, man, and every day there's something new. It was like murder hornets and locusts and the pandemic and civil unrest and political stress and all these things that are going on around us. I pray that you would be a voice of peace, to be able to stand up in the bow of our boats and in the bow of our heart and say, peace, be still. And we listen to those words and we allow your words to speak directly to the storms of our life and watch the waters calm. Watch the white caps settle and fizzle out. Listen to the wind as it dies down and becomes a breeze instead of a gale. And then just watch as the rain stops falling from the storm around us, and we can experience that peace by the adoption and by the expression of the Word of God and by full belief and immersion in that. God, I pray that you would help us to restore our relationships with you. Help us to remember that you are sovereign, that you are everywhere, that you are in control, that you are bigger than the issues, that you are more powerful than the most powerful man on the planet, that you are in control of curable diseases and what we see as incurable diseases. God, you can fix anything that we see around us. And help us to understand that even if we don't make it physically, it doesn't mean it's the end for us spiritually, and we'll be with you forever. And I thank you for that promise, and I thank you for that covenant that you made with us when we believe in you, and we become a part of that covenant, and we understand that you're our Savior, that you sent your Son to die for us, and we believe that, and have repented and tried to turn from our sins, and that you'll honor your side of it too. I thank you for that. And I thank you for just you being you. You've been able to be alive and being able to speak to us in ways that we can understand. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Hope you guys are comfortable tonight. Hope you're where you are. Hope you're in the AC tonight. It was hot out today. Hope you can rest this evening and try to find that peace. And I'll be excited to hang out with you guys next week. We'll do the same thing again. Not sure what we'll be talking about, but I'll be praying for you guys, and hope you'll be praying for me as well. Hope you have a great week, and see the favor of God around you.